Can the recording hear us okay?
I'm hoping so. It's got sound bars going up and down on the screen here, and it's got the record light pressed, so hopefully it's recording. So we won't have another repeat of last time.
Yeah, for everybody listening at home, you should have heard the last podcast. It was the best one we've ever done. I don't think we're going to do anything quite like that ever again, to be honest.
Oh, no, well, I think we're going to plateau now.
Yeah.
So actually, speaking of the last podcast, are we doing the same topic again today, or are we doing something new?
I can't remember what the topic was. It was thrilling, but I just can't remember what it was.
It was doing things with the web, using the web, and which sort of branch into essentially using animation or sounds. It was really handy. You won't be able to get to me screaming like a little girl again, unless you can find some other something else.
I remember now. Yes, that was fantastic.
Yeah, it's gone forever. Oh, what a tragedy.
I know, and I wish I'd been recording it as a backup, because then we'd still have it, and I'd have it as a ringtone.
Oh, amazing. Oh, that would be a good ringtone. So do you guys want to do that again, or something new? Something fresh and exciting and dynamic and other buzzwords?
I don't generally do buzzwords, but let's hit the ground running and go with it.
The Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and welcome to the Webcomic Company Podcast. I am Luke Sull, one of your four hosts this evening, and I am joined today by another Luke, Mr. Luke Healy of SwanyNuke.com.
It's me, Luke Healy. Hello.
Mr. Matt Dyson of MooKio.com. No, MooKio.com.
Mookio.com, yes.
Who is currently holding a little Cyberman up to the webcam I can see him on right now. And Mrs. Zoe Jennifer Kirk Robinson of various things, but I'll mention all over the house.com as well.
.net.
I'm really not doing very well at this. Just to say, today we're going to be discussing using the web, doing things with your comic on the internet that you could only do on the internet. And we must confess that this is actually the second time in which we have talked about this topic, as approximately 1 week ago we had a half hour discussion about this, but something went wrong with the recording.
It was so awesome it self-imploded.
Yeah, it was amazing. We were actually told by the internet authorities that we couldn't put it online because there'd just be so much traffic and it would shut down everything. Tim Berners-Lee came to Zoe's door and said, "Zoe, you can't put this out." It was quite dramatic.
That Tim Berners-Lee is so passionate about what he does.
Yeah.
Okay, so using the internet in ways that cannot be done on print. Does anybody have any particular experience of doing that they would like to share?
The only thing that I really do which uses the internet in a way that I can't do in print is when I'm behind schedule and I'll sometimes put a sketch up with the text of the joke, and then when I've got the time I'll ink and colour the comic and put that up instead, so I can still get something out on time. But that's about the limit of how I use the internet, because I'm one of those people that just puts a comic on a site.
I think the only thing I do, I'm the same, I don't really do much in the way of this, and I'll probably go off on a similar rant later on to what I did last week when we did this. But the only thing I really do, and it's not really something you can't do outside the internet, it's just something you have to do differently, is all my comics have alt text, so that's the text that appears when you hover your mouse pointer over the image. Now, obviously, you can't have that work exactly the same in a book, so when I have my printed collections, I actually have that text written in small along the side of the page, so you actually have to actively turn your head to read it, so you don't read it when you're reading the actual comic itself, so it still gets the same effect. You still end up reading it afterwards, it's just it's done in a different way.
And I should try it with my alt text, actually.
That's nice, I like that.
It's usually a little extra punchline or some sort of observation about something that was in the comic. For instance, when I was doing a lot of the South Africa comic with Moonkyo, if there was a particular cultural point that I touched on in the particular strip, I'd go into further detail on the side panel, on the alt text rather, just because I found it interesting. Mm. What about you two, Luke and Luke? Anything yourselves?
Well, I've got the alt text, like you have. So mm-hmm. If you've read all of Luke's other archive and didn't realise that, then you're going to go and have to read it all again. Give me another 500 page views. To be nice. But apart from that, not really. I mean, some people use animation and things like that. I mean, the biggest thing I probably do is I'm not constrained by page size. So often, when I'm designing a page, I will think about how you scroll down, so make sure to have punchlines which can't be visible when you first see it, and you have to scroll down. I factor in that effort into the timing of the comic, which is probably the one thing I've discovered when trying to put these into books, is that the comics which are that size are basically unprintable. Which is slightly annoying.
Yeah, unless you want to do them on scroll, I think.
That's why I ended up doing a standard panel size. Standard page size. All my panels are fully changeable within the actual page, but I set out a standard page size for myself just to help with printing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, That would be so useful if I had done that.
I only did it after a year and a half of drawing comics, to be fair. There is a year and a half of stuff that will probably never get printed in its current form just because of that. For the very same reason that you've said, that it ends up in awkward sizes. What about yourself, Luke?
I think out of all of you, I probably do the most close to just a page on the internet. You know what I mean? I literally do nothing. There's no alt text or anything in mine. Mm-hmm. Although, saying that, there is a secret hidden area on SwaneeNook.com that nobody has ever found. So it's there if you're looking for it. Ha ha ha. But
I if I come across as slightly distracted for the rest of the podcast,
I'll give you a tip so you're not just like clicking around. You have to use like an external thing. It's not just a link you click on the website. It's not really a program. It's like a JavaScript app.
Ooh, I'm into.
So
is it the?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. but yeah, no, I very much
is just flipping, Luke.
Oh, I totally didn't hear that because it all cut out, but I'm imagining it was hilarious.
No, I'm only hilarious to look at.
Self-cruelty, it's fun. So yes, so okay, what about other comics? Does anybody want to throw forth another, like a comic that is not made by us that uses internet style additions?
Well, there's variations on the alt text in various places. The one that's obvious to think of is Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal's Big Red Button, which is a big red button at the bottom of every comic that if you hover over it, you get an extra panel. of each and every strip, which I didn't find out until I was halfway through the archive and had to do it all again, as invariably happens. And there's a couple more instances of that. And then you come into things like the comic that was linked to me and to Luke last week during the podcast when we did this the first time that none of you all ever hear, which is includes some animation and made me poo my pants rather.
It was a horror comic, and
it was a horror comic,
and yep, I screamed basically like a little girl when it came out. It's that sort of animation, it works sort of once as a sort of, to be honest, it's a gimmick really, or a one shot thing.
So many of these things are, though, that the biggest problem that we have with web comics and comics in general, I suppose, is when you move away from the basic comic, then everything is a gimmick. The old text, it's become part of comics, and perhaps some of the other stuff will, but movements and blinking and things like that, it is just something that is totally non-essential, but sometimes it can be quite effective for a one-off.
But that's the thing, you've got to make sure it is a one-off, because otherwise it loses all impact whatsoever. I think people like Cyanide and Happiness use it now and again, and because they use it very sparingly and only ever once in a while, I mean, you could probably count on one hand the time, number of times they'll use it in a year or two, then it has impact still. But if you keep on using it, then it doesn't have any impact anymore. At the end of the day, you're creating a comic, and if that's what you're wanting to do, then you are creating a comic. You're not creating a web series, you're not creating an animation, you are creating a comic, and that is, as much as some people try to argue otherwise, it's images on a page that tell a story, with or without text if you want to. And going much beyond that, if you go too far, then you're not really doing a comic anymore, you're doing some sort of mixed media art piece, and at the end of the day, it just distracts from your central thing, if that's what you were trying to do.
And there are people out there creating sort of good flash animations and cartoons, and if you're starting to compete with them rather than essentially other comic, then you're going to end up creating a not very good flash animation as opposed to a good comic. So, yeah, it's something that I think my sort of conclusion on this, my thoughts is generally you can do it, but you can't let it interfere with the core content of your comic. A lot of the best examples I can think of were ones where the animation or the extra sort of webby bit was part of sort of a bonus or a little Easter egg. The XKCD April Fools is quite nice. It happens once a year. It's sort of part of the experience of the comic.
I tend to like the great comic swap that happens on April Fools as well, where everybody else does everybody else's comic for a day. That's always fun, and I really should do that with somebody next year. I keep meaning to. But that one's fun. But yeah, I completely agree. And to come at it from a cold, cynical business point of view, if you do something that's too different and too web only, then at the end of the day, you're making sure that there is no way on earth that you are ever going to be able to print that and resell it. Mm-hmm. And while a lot of people out there don't want to bother with that, and they're fine with completely just doing what they do on the internet, and they just do it as a hobby, and fine, that's great, that's wonderful, more power to them. But there are people like myself, like other people, who really do try and make a bit out of this as well as doing it for a hobby, because there's nothing wrong with trying to make a bit of money out of something you enjoy. So at the end of the day, if I was to do an animated strip where part of the joke relied on the animation, then I can't print that in a book. And if that strip is part of an ongoing storyline, I really struggle to print that ongoing storyline as a book. So I'm then at a loss to print that and reproduce it and sell it. And that's if I'm only doing a one-off. If I'm doing several of them, then there's a lot of content that I'm losing. And at the end of the day, I do standard sizes because at the end of every storyline, I collect them into a 30-page book, currently, anyway. And I want to be able to do them like that because there are a hell of a lot of readers that I have that only buy the print copies and don't bother reading me online. They know they can, but they like to come see me at conventions and buy the books, which is really lovely and nice. But if I did things that were just on the web, I'd completely lose out on that audience. Yeah. So I'm a bit cynical of extra things that don't really add something. Yeah, if you find something that actually adds something and makes it worth it, but if it's a bit of a gimmick, then I'd rather just use the time that I would have spent developing that to bang out 3 or 4 more comics.
I would just like love to bring up an exception to the rule right now, because there's always one, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about it at length in the last podcast, which I probably don't think we should do again, because it really needs its own contest, because it's so bizarre. Or contest, what am I saying? Podcast. Janie Mac. So it's mspaintadventures.com, which, you know, we talked about at length last time, uses tons of animation, tons of interactivity, music. It's all in there, and it's amazing. But that is because the creator, Andrew Hussey, is phenomenally talented, and he works really hard on it. And it's not just thrown in there, it's part of the core reading experience, because that is what MS Paint Adventures is. And you can almost go so far as to say that it isn't really a comic. But he has used the web in such a way, in a way that nobody else has. And I think if anybody else tried to, it would just come across as a ripoff and not work at all. And I'm sure somebody has tried to.
Someone's always tried to rip everyone else off. There's always someone who looks at something and goes, I like that, I'll make my version.
I'm going to resist the temptation to have a Tim Buckley rant.
I'm not.
Oh, we mustn't. We mustn't.
He wants to be Penny Arcade. That's the long and short of it. And he's made a success out of wanting to be Penny Arcade.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not even going to get myself started.
And more power to him or something.
Yeah, obviously people like what he's doing because he's made a success of it, but at the same time, he did it because he wanted to be someone else.
I'm just not going to start.
Yeah, really, because it could severely derail this podcast.
I learned my lesson on this when I had a huge rant last time we talked about Tim.
Have we done that before? Oh my gosh, I didn't even know.
I think it
was one of my more impassioned rants.
we shouldn't mudsling, we shouldn't ever. Yeah. I was about to throw up a bunch of exceptions, but no, we won't. We'll be restrained, lovely individuals who don't have enemies yet. So comics. I'd like to, obviously, I feel really silly talking about stuff again, because it feels like I'm saying it again, but nobody listening has heard it, but I'd really like to bring up a creator, I don't know why I said that, Emily Carroll, who is doing pretty bitchin', excuse the language, stuff with the internet and comics, so much so that she pretty much won a Joe Shuster Award, which is a Canadian cartooning award last year, for making pretty cool web comics. And excellent. You can read her stuff at mcarroll.com, which is mcarroll.com. I'm sure there's some kind of way we can put a link somewhere, but I don't know for certain. She basically, the kind of things that she's doing are really enhance the comic, and they in no way detract from it. Like, one of the things that she, like Luke was saying earlier about page lengths and using the scroll, she put up a horror comic called His Face All Red, where the navigation was so web native, which is, I think, one of the reasons people went so mad about it, because it was just like a really cool, thoughtful way to navigate the comic, in that some of the pages were quite long, And then when it got towards the end, when it was getting tense and tense, to, I guess, extend the tension, you have to click through individual, essentially, frames, like from page to page. There's only one frame on each. And it just ends up to, like, such a tense, great conclusion. There's an entire part where the character is climbing down a well, and the page just scrolls on and on and on, and there's just loads of pictures of this guy climbing down the well, and it's just fantastic, and I urge everyone to go read it.
I
learned some lessons.
She does do some really beautiful stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on the computer now, and she's very good. Very 1920s, 1930s sort of art style as well. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like she should only ever draw flappers. But yeah, everybody go read those, because you should, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, another thing she does, which I like, is she uses the color of the background of her pages change, like the web pages themselves. So it ends up, her comic ends up not just being a comic, like a static page on top of like a white background. So if your browser is bigger than the comic, you'll just get this white around it. It blends really, really well into the browser, no matter what size you extend to. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think they're set to center, because they're not just image pages, they're HTML. So I think no matter what size your browser is, the pages will center automatically, which I think it's just, you know, it's a subtle thing, but it's just, you know, being thoughtful about how you use the internet as a medium.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons I haven't done much sort of fun, shiny things with my comic is partly because I don't really know how to program. If you do know how to program, I mean, I said it often, things often come across as a gimmick, but if you can think of doing something, especially something that absolutely nobody has done before, and you think, oh, this might work, this will fit my comic, then I would say just go ahead and try, because I want to see, and if it doesn't work, then we probably won't end up talking about it. And if it does work, we'll say it's a genius. It's a little bit of a cruel thing, because we could say, don't do these things except when they work, in which case do them, which is a bit sort of a circular argument. Do things that work well. It's maybe there's not much content there.
One of the quotes from last week was, if you do them well and they're original, they'll make you look fantastic. If not, they'll only make you look like an idiot. So don't worry.
Or a brave entrepreneur is the wrong word, innovator, or something, but probably an idiot, sorry.
You've got to remember, though, look at Google. Innovations never harm them. How many things have Google done that have failed?
Oh, yeah.
Like Google Wave.
Well, let's face it, if you're afraid to fail and look like a stupid idiot on the internet, then you're in the wrong profession anyway. Don't be a comics artist, don't be a webcomics artist, because quite frankly, half of it is looking stupid on the internet. Yep. I mean, look at us. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Yeah, I think when you're putting any of your own work out there, you just have to be confident about it. Stand behind your work. Other assorted encouragements.
And if it gets really bad, stand behind a shield.
Oh, my lord. Okay, so, yes, does anybody have any other examples? I'm sure we had more last time.
XKCD does some... We talked about it already with April Fools, but occasionally they'll do other things. Do you remember that comic where they were talking about 3D and the comic would move if you moved the mouse over it?
Mm.
It had some kind of parallax scrolling. I thought that was really cool. And I was wanting to use it in one of my old comics, and I saw that and thought, well, now it'll just look like a rip-off of XKCD, so I never did. But it was a nice idea.
Yeah, it worked for that sort of one comic and a sort of a one-shot thing. It added something to it.
Yeah.
As a general rule, if something makes it harder to actually read your comic, which something... If I've seen some comics where the reader needs to do a certain amount of work essentially to get panels to display or things like that. If you actually are making your readers, because comics is generally quite a passive activity, and I think generally try and, if you can reduce the amount of work effort it requires to read a comic, that's generally good.
Yes.
Because, you know, as somebody who reads comics and has worked out a fairly efficient way to read 83 different web comics by only scrolling down on the mouse wheel in Google Reader.
Google Reader is amazing.
Yeah. But I guess one thing to remember is that the way people do read things on a screen and the way you move from page to page on the screen is slightly different from moving from page to page in a book. And you can play with that, and that does affect your pacing. And scrolling down to read more of the comic, that affects the pacing a little bit more. And you can work with that, and it's quite subtle how you do things. And then you have to decide whether your primary medium is online or in print form. So you may have to occasionally sacrifice a joke or a page layout, as I guess you probably have done a few times, Matt, is sacrifice a particular joke because you can't fit it in your print.
Not necessarily. I write for the way I write for the way that I lay things out, so it never really comes up. Because it never really gets that far.
You become so institutionalized, you think in these sort of panel layer.
I don't know, because I don't have a set panel layout. I have a set page size, so I can fit whatever I want within reason in there anyway. So, but I have a million different types, different layouts of panels within that page. I can do, you know, one giant panel as a page, or I can do your standard four panel. I can do two panels at the top, one at the bottom, one at the top, two at the bottom. I've even done before where I've done nine panels on a page, where I've done three rows of three. I've got so much flexibility within that. You can give yourself restraints without really restraining yourself. You've just got to be clever about doing it.
But it is an interesting point where you say that you end up isn't institutionalized and writing for a certain way of doing it. Because I do it with all of the house. Every time Jen and I are bashing out ideas for the comic, I end up thinking, how can I set this out in three panels? And sometimes you can't, I end up doing four panels. But for the most part, it's, if we do the setup like this, then it'll pay off like that, and you get the three panels. So it does... You do end up working to a certain size, and if you are using all these gimmicks all the time, and you end up like that, then there's no way you're going to be able to redo anything to print it. Because that's how I do it. I'll be thinking, occasionally I've got a gimmick. So what if I do it like this, and we do the gimmick, but I also do an extra version that I'll keep on my hard drive, and then print that version instead of the gimmick one. But if you're doing it all the time, that's going to add a huge amount of work.
Mm.
And you're essentially doing two comics.
And we all hate working.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
But it comes back to what Matt was saying earlier on. Why put all that work in for one joke when you can do two or three jokes?
Yeah, in that extra time that you've wasted, well, not necessarily wasted, in that extra time you've spent, if it could have been better spent doing three or four comics, then... Why the hell wouldn't you do three or four comics?
But that's it, because at the end of the day, we've got a limited amount of time.
Yeah, you've got to use the time the best way you can. And, you know, there are very, very few of us that are lucky enough to be able to do this for a full-time living. There's, you know, the great majority of us are doing this with day jobs. And, God, time is such a premium.
Yeah.
We really have to just do what we can with it. And... yeah, if you really want to, you can waste your time trying to sort out gimmicks. And I know that sounds like a slanted way of putting it, because I'm a bit biased against that. And, well, that you'd be right, it is. But, I'd always go for the line of your comic will improve, your work will improve if you do it and do it again and do it more of it. And if you're wasting your time doing side gimmicks that aren't actually adding to your work and doing anything new, then that's time you could have spent improving.
Yeah. And that is pretty much what comes out of this. you've got to remember that your time is limited and you're going to improve if you put the practice in.
It's really weird. It's one of these things that whenever you ask somebody, ask an artist what the best way to improve your comic is, the question that everybody always, the answer that everybody always gets, and the answer that everybody's always so very disappointed in getting, because it's the only answer they ever hear, is practice, keep on doing more, just draw, and you'll get better. And it's stupid, but because that is the only answer, really. There are all sorts of little stupid, little gimmicky things you can do to gain ground in the short or medium term, but in the long term, the only thing you can do to get your work better is to practice. The only thing you can do to get yourself more well-known and more famous is that there are only two things. It's to practice and or to be very stupidly lucky, and you can't really affect the second one, so you may as well work on the first one. And it's silly that a lot of advice podcasts, books and things like ourselves, in a way, as well as doing little tips, we're just finding brand new ways to dress up that single piece of advice of practice.
We do say it like every week.
It is the only way. Practice.
I hope that you've been listening to this podcast while drawing.
Yeah, have you? Because we've been doing that. Honest.
I'm shaking.
I am drawing right now.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not.
I'm inking. But yeah.
I'm going to draw now.
No pressure, really.
Oh,
while we are directly addressing the good ladies and gentlemen out there in podcasts, I'd be interested to know if people know of some various things where people have done fun, interesting things with the web and where they feel that it has worked or perhaps even hasn't worked. So if you do have ideas, then there are a whole host of ways to get in touch with us. The best place to go is webcomics.co, and you will be able to find various things, ways to contact us, emails, leave a comment, and things like that. Yeah, just let us know what's out there. That's good.
That is the robot telling us to shut the heck up.
It is, but finish your point there. Go on.
I was just saying, if people would like to get in touch with us about things that people have done using the web, then you can go to webcomics.co, or really anything, and because we will happily choose a subject to talk about based on what you would like us to talk about.
We'll talk about anything. We're just sad lonely comicers here. Yeah. Tell us what to talk about.
There is one more thing that I've just thought about when we were on about how to contact us. That is one way that we use the web that people in print can't do. We are instantly available to people that are reading our comic. Especially with most webcomic sites now, which have some sort of comment feature on each post. And I've been using that on occasion. I should do it more, but I tend to not to. Of having all of my characters have accounts on the websites that their characters in, so that they can comment on the comic.
And you can comment. Which I think is really cool, by the way.
Thank you.
You said that the last time. I think that's quite cool.
It's just a little way of adding little extra jokes.
I'm very tempted to steal that idea.
Go for it. It's fun.
But that's another rule for everybody. All the best ideas are worth stealing.
Definitely. it's not so much stealing. It's
inspiration.
It's like what Picasso says. What was his quote? Picasso said something like, "All genius is like 90% stealing it off other people," or something like that.
Something like that.
But, and I'm about to confuse the message of the podcast. Are you ready, guys? Because we can't have a clear message ever. Are you ready?
Go on then.
Don't be afraid to innovate. Do it. Yeah, like Luke said earlier, I really want to read that.
Today's moral, children, is always eat your vegetables.
Yep, and He-Man says don't punch your sister.
And knowing is half the battle.
Yes.
I'm trying to mix as many 80s children's cartoons in here as I can. Go Captain Planet, yay! But with your powers combined, I am Captain Webcomic!
Yay!
Right, okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have been the Webcomics Company podcast. My name's Matt Dyson, and I can be found at kiozen.com and mukio.com. This is Luke Healy, and he can be found at swannynook.com. And say hello, Luke.
It's me. Hey. Oh, and quickly before we move on, I just want to pimp something really, really quick.
Go for it.
Tonight, as we're recording this podcast, which means it'll be done by the time that you're listening to this podcast, I'm putting up the first chapter of my graphic novel, Eat the Pig, on my Google Plus account. So go read it. Search for Luke Healy on Google Plus. I'm the one that looks like a cartoon.
Do you have a
G+.2
account which will forward to your Google Plus?
I think it's G+.2/Luke Healy, but I could be so wrong. I'm going to check it right now, and then by the time you're finished telling people, I'll do it.
Podcast notes and stuff and majig-a-majig. Right, this is Luke Searle. You can find his stuff, which is updating again at lukesearle.com. Welcome back to the internet, Luke. Say hello.
Thank you. Hello.
And then said goodbye.
It should come up in 10 minutes' time as we record, but as you listen to this, there'll probably be a few up by then.
Yes. Yay. And this is Zoe Kirk-Robinson, who does every other webcomic on the internet. You can find pretty much all her stuff at, is it zoerobinson.com or .net? I can never remember.
Zoerobinson.com.
Yay! So say goodbye, Zoe.
Bye.
So that's been good from us all. The person who's not here today is James Spence, and he does the wonderful Girls in Space over at www.girlsinspace.co.uk.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. See you in 2 weeks' time.
Oh dear, go stand in the corner.
Oh, I can't be bothered. It's all the way over there.
You see, at least when we couldn't see you, you could pretend to have done it.
Yeah, there's no lies.
I've got a really good idea.
So he's gone, everybody. We can all play. Yay!